we go.
Okay, now we're good. Sorry, our laptop was refusing to start working. I guess it's past its bedtime. So, to everyone out there, this is number two. Thank you for listening. Thank you for starting. If anybody came back from one, thanks. It's greatly appreciated.
It'd be a good idea if you introduced the show.
Oh, yeah. So, we're off-center archers. And my husband's giving me dirty looks. Because, yes, you know, after clicking on off-center archers, I guess you need some refreshing as to what podcast you're looking or you're listening to. So, what we have for you guys today is every week we go to the shooting range. You know,
at anything, least once a week.
Yeah, we try. You know what? As normal people, I guess you have your normal jobs, your normal routines in life that you have to do. You can't always go every day, or if you don't have a yard, you can't just go out the backyard and, you know, go shooting for an hour or whatever. So we try to at least go once a week. And today, I guess we tried out a couple new sites. We posted them. I'll post some pictures too online. And we also have a couple other things that we ordered that we're going to go over. Yes. And by the way, my silent partner over here, my husband, Anthony.
Yep.
Which, yeah, yep is in your vocabulary. So, yep, yes, sure. Yep. You know, thumbs up, even though no one can see him. He's laughing at me. So, Fletchings.
Yes.
Just to kind of like dive right into it.
All right, dive right
into
it.
So, let me just kind of bring this one. Let me just, you know, start this one out.
Okay.
So, when we started really getting tighter groups, after you know, you get used to everything, you sight in, and you're like, okay, I got 10 yards down, 15 yards down, 20 yards down. We started finding out that we grouped some of our arrows when you're really on point. Like, you're really, everything's flowing nicely, and you're like, holy crap, I'm hitting the center all the time. You're not like all over the place.
And then you start hearing the slapping noise.
Yeah. And then you get to your grouping and you see your arrow fletchings have holes in them. You've ripped them off. And you can't really, we have one guy that, you know, fixes a lot of our arrows. And he does great. He does a great job by us. At least, you know, I think so. My husband thinks so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, he's great working with us. Gives us pointers, tips. You know, if you can find someone who'll do that with you as you're learning, that's great to get all the input that you can out of someone else. Yeah. Well, he gets backed up. We're not, like, the only people that he ever sees. So, if you find yourself, you know, crap, I destroyed another fletching. Like, you know, what am I gonna do? We looked online, off of Amazon.
Yes.
I mean, Amazon, you can find anything. You can find anything on Amazon. As you know, I don't think there's anything you really can't find on Amazon. You can find fletchings.
You can find fletchings, releases, sights, hell, full bow kits.
But right now, I mean, as far as the fletchings, like if you get to the point where you're destroying fletchings, you're putting holes through, you're starting to chip them.
Or rip them off completely.
Yeah, and you need to replace them. Well, one, not many people have a house where they can set up a certain space, they can get all these additional tools, and they can make a little workshop area that you can do some of the things that other more experienced archers do. Mm-hmm. For us, we don't have that extra space. You know, our two-year-old takes up that extra space. We got extra space? Toys move in.
No. We take up the extra space. He takes up everything.
So, you know, we found a really, really simple way to fix them yourself for a fairly cheap cost.
Yes.
That you're not breaking the bank. You could do it really easy at home. It's a quick fix. You know, and as you're learning, if you destroy one, it's not like crap. You're waiting on arrows to get fixed, or, you know, it's just going to be pricey. You can take it home and do it, you know, what, took you how long?
Probably about 20 minutes for six arrows. First, we bought the Boning Blazer full of wrap kits. Very simple to use, and like she said, we have a tendency now that we've been shooting consistently with the same bows, same setups, that we're ripping holes and fletchings, and we have pictures, and we enjoy posting them when we do that. Not even me personally, I like posting pictures when I destroy arrows. You know, we're just constantly just rip at least 1 arrow a week to 2 arrows a week. We're getting damaged. So we went on Amazon. We found the boning kit. We also know NAP makes their own wrap kits. And depending on which company you say, you know, everyone says mines are better. But we both happen to be, you know, all of our arrows have Blazer veins. So we just stuck with the Blazer brand. So said hell with it, you know. I had 2 arrows at the time that had holes completely in the fletchings. And 1 arrow was missing one fletching. So we ordered them. I believe it was $14.99 on our Prime account. So
yeah,
we didn't pay
nothing
for shipping, and it was 2 days.
Just a side note, Amazon Prime is the way to go. You know, it seems like a lot in the beginning, $99, but shipping pays off. Side note, not sponsored, just saying.
No, yeah. Well, it worked out to our advantage, too, having a 2-year-old, considering Amazon is the only channel, or the only program that has all the real kids' channels and Baby Genius and.
Anyway, back
you know,
to.
Whatever. So whatever, they came in the mail and I read the directions, and it really doesn't give you a good description on how to remove the old fletchings off the arrow. It tells you, you know, just gently scrape or go buy this $29 tool. Well, so I did some searching on YouTube and Google. And basically I found an easy way to either A, use your wife's hair dryer, and depending on how your wife is, they may get pissed off about that. Or you just use boiling water. Basically what you do is take the arrow, you know, boil yourself a decent sized pot of water. Get the water to a pretty ripping boil, and then just dip the arrow in it, at the fletching side of the arrow in it for about 10 seconds. And when you take it out, you actually can see like the fletchings are very, very, they seem flimsy. And just take a single-edge razor blade and just lightly scrape, put it back in. And you have to take it in and out a couple times. But each arrow takes about 5 minutes. If you're patient, you can get all of the vein completely off, all the glue completely off, and not even scar the arrow at all.
And what was the count that you got in the bag?
It was a 6-pack for $15.
Still, that's not bad.
It's still not bad. Like now, for me, purposely, because we constantly damage stuff, I'd say if you can, when you go to your generic stores, Dick's, Gander, hell, Walmart sells arrows during bow season, they're all going to come fletched. If you can get them, actually, they're even sold on Amazon, you can get blank arrows that have no fletchings. In my opinion right now, since we do so much damage, that would be the way to go, because it's a lot more work entailed, really, if you want to go and buy the jig and then buy the glue and then buy everything else to repair single fletchings every time you break them.
But that's more in depth. That's
right. It's a much more advanced skill of the actual fletching and having the jig and everything like that. But for a person who's simple, wants to do a quick, easy, the slide on wraps, you know, as soon as you get the arrow clean, slide the arrow, you know, take the knock out of the arrow, slide the wrap to the very end of the arrow, and just put it in the boiling water again, and you just watch the wrap bind itself right to the arrow. And then, you know what? If you go to the range and you damage one, take that same razor blade you did to use to remove to glue, just put a little scar in the wrap, and the wrap rips clean all the way down, and you slide the next one right on there, and you do the same process all over again, except the second time there's no glue to remove. You know, the vein just had the wrap happens to just squeeze itself so tight that it doesn't need any adhesive.
And honestly, that's a lot easier, and to be able to do something like that at home and not need all that extra tools to do it. It's, you know, an easy do-it-yourself little project. And even if, you know, I'm starting to find when you start doing a lot of these things yourself, you're kind of learning more about the tools that you're working with. So when you learn more about your arrows, how to fix them, if something goes wrong, right. Certain things to look for. And I mean, it's not just arrows. It gets to everything you're using with your bow and your sights and whatever rest you're using.
You gain a lot more pride when you do it.
Right. And I mean, not even just the pride. I think that's more of like a man thing. Like, you know, with the pride and the ego and being
able
to fix
things. Well,
there's always
that as a guy. Look, I did this.
I did this look.
Yeah.
So
you look at your son. Look at that. I helped make that, you know.
But it's another thing. Like, let's say you, you know, go on a hunting trip and you have these certain issues that arise, or something breaks, or and you're, you know, miles out from anywhere that you could probably get them, someone else to get them fixed. If you know how to, the means to be able to do it on your own, and or if you know something's wrong, then it's going to be better off in the long run for you that you already learned it while you're practicing. And, you know, then when it actually happens,
it's... Well, that's where practicing comes into play when you go into the field. Because there's a lot of guys, like, if you look up a lot of, like, the serious hardcore hunters, like Cam, Steve Rennell, you know, Dudley, the guys that go camping, you know, Cam's buddy Roy, who passed away last year. Those guys take these types of sleeves that we use, or the wraps that I use now and that we're going to be doing on your arrows. They take spares into the field with them because they're not just going out there to hunt for one day and coming home.
No.
They're going out there with 50-pound backpacks, small tents, these 5-pound sleeping bags, whatever. They're, you know, they're making a full utility pack, 5 days worth of food. And half the time, these guys have a 6-pack of those in there because if they damage, you know, they could damage an arrow, skim a tree, because there's some guys that'll just get, you know, they want to do something. They haven't seen an animal and they just let one arrow rip.
Trigger happy.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, just a tension reliever or something, just a shoot. You know, then you find the arrow survived and you destroyed the veins. So, and while they're at that night, whatever, with their boiling water or their can of beans or whatever, they'll just slide one of them wraps back on there and, you know, arrow's fixed and good for the next day.
Can of beans?
Hey, whatever, it's camping, you know.
Is that what I
You can't fart around your buddies, man, you know.
Beans.
Yeah, yeah.
You always have high beans protein. And beer.
Yeah, but no, I don't. You want to take beer with you on a camping trip, because then you'll shoot one of your buddies by accident.
Yeah, no, that'd be a negative. That would definitely be a bad thing.
But, I think from now on, I'm definitely going to start buying blank arrows. Just seems the way to go for me. I prefer shooting at a single target. I don't like the targets that have the 5 little mini targets on them. Drives me nuts. You know, it's like when I was teaching one of our family members on Monday, he decided he wanted to use the 5 separate targets and just having a hell of a time shooting at it. Just missing, pulling left, pulling right. And I told him, you know, it's going to sound stupid to you, but there's a thing that a lot of shooters reference as calling target panic.
Or is it target anxiety?
Target panic, target same anxiety, thing. It's the same thing. But it's where you have multiple targets and no matter what you do, your brain can't focus on one. You know, I have it at times. If I see an animal, it's not going to bother me. It's one target. But if you put me in a field where there's like 30 turkeys running around, I'm not going to remember which one's male, female. I may just blank out for a second.
Yeah.
And that's where the anxiety kicks in, or the panic. So, but as soon as I flipped the target around and he had one main target, every shot was in the white. Granted, you know, that's where sometimes, you know, other issues come into play. Like his first 3 arrows would be dead on, all in the white. And then his second, his fourth and fifth arrows would kind of drift a little bit. But that's also stamina of shooting one arrow after the other, after the other, after the other. When you're in the field, only one counts.
Yeah, you pretty much shoot at the animal that you're shooting at. If you miss, then, you know.
Just hope it goes clean over him and he goes, what the hell is that? You have enough time to pull second one back.
Take off. You're not going to have an animal just kind of stand there and let you take another shot.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think I've shot at a five target.
No, well, your stuff right now, ever since the beginning, I've just kept you on
the single.
One single target just because I think in the beginning, you shouldn't focus on multiple targets at all. Even sighting a bow, and if you're going to smack an arrow, you're going to smack an arrow. Let it happen. Don't get pissed off every time you break an arrow. It's going to happen.
Actually, be glad when it happens, because that means that you're hitting the same spot.
Oh, yeah, that means your group is tight as hell.
Yeah. So the minute that you actually go up to your grouping and you see one arrow shot clean through your fletching of your other arrow, because that's how close you were together.
Yes.
Be proud of that. Don't get pissed off that you broke a fletching. be proud of that because that means you're on point with your aiming.
Oh, yeah. That means you're doing something right. Oh, I mean, if you're smashing arrows, like, so close together, because there's a lot of times even me and you are at the range, I get, you know, I'm like, oh, God, I hit another one. Yeah. And it's just the fact that they're so close to each other. You think you smacked the arrow and broke it, but you didn't. It's just that they were happened to be so close together, the impact of stopping in the target, they slapped each other.
Yeah.
So.
And then the range today.
Range today was fun.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's always nice when you're by yourself.
Yeah, actually, which was kind of a shock. I mean, Jesus, deer season opens in like a month, that.
Yeah, we're close to, but hey, I'm not going to complain. That's fine with me.
For a Saturday at the range, I mean, we're like, oh, it's Saturday. It's
going to be packed.
5 o'clock. It's going to be packed. And we get there and there's no one there. So, which was nice. We had the range to ourselves. We were able to put, music on one of our phones and just, do what we had to do. We had swapped to some new equipment today.
We swapped out the sights.
Yes, we did swap out the sights.
So both we can we can start with your bow, if you want.
My bow my bow is a Bear Crux, 70-pound pole, and it's actually on the 70 pounds. I've got the bolts locked all the way down. And it was, your standard, starter kit, Whisker Biscuit, which if you're a start, if you're a brand new archer, Whisker Biscuit's the way to go. Without a doubt, full capture stays in there. You ain't really got to worry about much. But my bow, when I purchased it, came with a Joker 4 Trophy Ridge sight on it. Now, it's
how many pins?
4.
Okay.
Well, that's why it's a Joker 4.
Well, we're talking about people who are just starting. Starting.
Yes, good point.
So
good point.
You can't just say, hey, it's a Joker 4, and everyone's like, oh, okay, I know exactly what that is. No, because I wouldn't know.
Google's 4, man.
Yeah, but come on. You got to be a little considerate to everyone, including myself, because I wouldn't have known until I actually looked at it.
Well, yes. Well, your bow had the Joker 3 on it.
Yeah, but you know what? Pin. Sometimes companies, they come out with like 2, 3, 4, and that's just because
just
that's
a
newer,
version number.
The newer model of it. So,
right.
Continue.
But yes, I had the Joker 4 sight on it. Had been shooting it since the day I bought the Crux, which is back in June. For what it was, the sight was actually a pretty decent sight. Contact wise, everything was good. The bow is actually extremely powerful. First pin was set to 20 yards just because there was an eighth, maybe a quarter of an inch difference between my 10-yard and my eighth of a yard shot at the target on the bullseye. So it wasn't worth me doing a 10-yard pin. 30 yards, it was fine. But the only thing I didn't like about it there's a few things I didn't like about it. One, to me, the pins are too wide for how close the sight is to the riser of the bow. So when you have a sight closer to the riser of the bow, your movement on your pin will be smaller because the sight is closer to the peep sight. Whereas if it's farther away, tend to notice more of a gap, and it just makes it easier to sight in. Other people in the archery community will say, no, if your sight should be the same exact distance out as your arrow rest is out from the backside of the riser.
I guess it comes down with personal preference and what you're comfortable with shooting, what shot to where you want it to go.
Well, I think also people don't take into account when the difference between target shooting and hunting. Our bows are set up for hunt-wise. When you shoot target-wise, you tend to have a larger stabilizer because you're not moving. You're just standing there and you're aiming at a target.
Yeah, the target's not going to run away.
Right. No, not even that. Well, you ain't got to worry about bumping into trees. You're standing in an open field shooting at a single target.
Yeah.
Whereas, in my opinion, and a lot of people do this too, when you're going into the field to hunt, you don't want to have a 30-inch stabilizer on your bow. Because if you have to turn, there's a good chance you're going to smack a tree and mess your bow up. So you don't want to have that. Like, soon we're going to be switching out my stabilizer to a, I think the new one's going to be 13 or 14 inch. And that's probably the biggest one I'll ever put on the bow. I have no reason to shoot anything bigger because it's a hunting bow.
And if you can get your form down correctly.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. But having a sight that's also out farther adds weight out farther in front of the bow. So you're having the weight of the sight plus the weight of the stabilizer creating more weight, which would be the same as me having my 13-inch stabilizer. Instead of it being a 13, being a 24-inch stabilizer with a really close sight.
Which makes sense. It's just another piece of weight that's in the front.
Right. But instead, I get to keep everything tighter.
Right.
You know. So it just.
Now, how'd you like that one? That was the first one on the bow.
The first one on the bow is good. But being the fact that it was so close, my 20 pin and my 30 yard pin were almost on top of each other.
So I was just looking at like a jumble.
It was basically two fat black lines sticking at each other, and I had no choice but to aim from the left in.
So something like that
kind of drove me nuts.
Something like that might be better if the yards were farther apart. Like you had.
I think that set would work for someone who has much lower poundage, like 40, 45 pounds, where the arrow is going to arc more, would create more of a gap between the pins. But for someone who's going to shoot 60, 65, 70 pound frozen rope arrows, the pins are going to be too close. I could have sighted that bow all the way to 60 yards, and all four of the pins would have been within probably half an inch of each other.
Okay.
So it would have just been way too much clustered on each other. And the other thing I didn't like about it was it wasn't quick adjust. I mean,
oh, you had to get your
we whole had to take out Allen keys out all the time to move everything, and I don't like, you know, I'm fine with setting the pins for Allen keys. Just the pins. But everything else, the vertical change, the horizontal change,
we had to get those out every time.
Every single time we needed to make a small adjustment, and then, you know, it wasn't just loosen a wing nut, turn the dial a little, and be done.
Now, my sight on my bow, my original sight that I had on my bow, was the Joker 3. That was also Allen key adjustable.
Our sights were literally identical, except for the fact that one had three pins and one had four pins.
Right.
And your biggest gripe was also at 52 pounds, your pins were almost on top of each other.
Yeah, I honestly, when I started, I was at, we started me at the lowest weight. It was like 32 pounds.
And keep in mind, she has only been shooting since June.
Okay. Well, you know, it's 32 pounds starting weight, right, which was fine because, I mean, you know, when you're first shooting a compound bow, there is some adjustment that you have to get used to it. And it was easier for me to pull back. We got the Joker 3 sight on my bow. And setting up, you know, sighting it in originally wasn't that bad.
Well, at 32 pounds, you have that arc from the arrows, right, to play with.
But I noticed that once we upped my weight, we ended up moving it up to like 52 pounds.
Yeah, you are and at 32 still for 2 weeks. Then you were at 40 for 3 weeks.
Right.
And then 45 for 2 weeks and then 52 since then.
Right. But I mean, it doesn't mean that if you're starting, you have like a timeline to move up the weight that you're shooting at.
No,
it's just whatever you get comfortable with. And honestly, I mean, I like to be challenged, and the 52 pounds is not really hard for me, but it's enough that, you know, I can feel like I have to really kind of put a little bit more effort into it and make sure that I'm keeping my form good and stabilizing and everything else. Whereas the lighter pound, I just felt like it was just pulling really nothing back. I just got used to it.
Oh, at 32 pounds, you were yanking that thing back so fast.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, some people, you'll move slower. Some, they just, if you're doing it as a hobby, just doing it for fun, like, you know, I'm just going to the range every week, blow off some steam and relieve some stress. And, you know, you just want to stay at the lower weight. You don't have then that's fine, you know. But once we moved my pounds up to 52, I started, when I had to re-sight everything in, I found that looking through to the target, all of my pins seem to be on top of each other. So I'm looking, and all I see are the colors of the pins, right? In my line of sight. And it was kind of hard. Well, it was harder for me personally to mm-hmm. be able to focus on just the one that I wanted to focus on for the yards that I was shooting at. And it kind of almost gets a little bit jumbled up. Like, there's too much going on for what I'm just trying to focus on. Mm-hmm. So now we moved me to, we ordered a couple new sites. So we're going to be posting them too, as a side note, online. We'll be posting separate pictures as the week goes on of the individual sites that we changed to. We'll put what bow they went on to. Mm-hmm. And I went to, it's a single pin.
Yes.
But it was by True Glow, right?
Yes, it's a True Glow Archer's Choice.
And
single pin. Not .19 pin.
Take your hand away from your mouth. Let these wonderful people hear your beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, the True Glow, the single pin, we got online, and we got it for a great deal. You know, if you're looking for a budget site, you want to try out something new, you're not sure, you don't want to drop a ton of money on something that you don't know if you're going to like or not, suggestion is look on eBay. Honestly.
And Amazon.
eBay
are hardcore.
Yeah. Because you can, once you do a little bit of research, honestly, there's blogs out there, there's message boards of certain companies, there's the actual company website. Look through and say, okay, you know what? This looks like something I want to try out. Then go on the other websites and do your shopping around, because you can get a deal. It could be slightly used. Make sure you don't get one that's totally jacked up. I mean, mm-hmm. be smart about it, honestly, if you're buying anything else, you know, and see what a good deal, because you could probably save a ton of money, and then you can get the site and find out, oh, wait, you know what? I actually really don't like this one personally. Not saying that the company's bad or they made a bad site. It's just its personal preference. What you like could be different than what someone else likes to use. And you can get that and say, you know what? It's something that I really don't feel comfortable using. I don't like the setup, or I don't like whatever. And you didn't spend a ton of money on it. So you don't feel like, you know, crap, I wasted all this money. Whereas it could be something that you're like, wow, this is really great, and you saved the time. I mean, I think you kind of win-win either way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As long as you do your searches the right way, you can find killer deals on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, RRS, stabilizers, I mean.
But this is putting some effort into it. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. You can't go on one of these websites, take 1 to 2 minutes and automatically find this awesome deal.
No,
you have to put some effort into it. You have to put some work into it. You have to do a little bit of research on your own, a little bit of reading. I mean, the stuff that we're doing is trying to help whoever is maybe someone didn't think of, oh, you know what? I can check on these sites. Most of the times when people are starting out, they're like, they just go straight to the manufacturer's website, and then they buy it directly from them. Or they go directly into the stores, they don't shop around, and you end up buying it for more money than you really should have. So that's why we're kind of pointing you to these other sites, these websites, because we're talking about sites, so websites.
Yeah.
So these other websites, just to kind of put the idea out there that there's other places you can get these great deals on. Don't just buy the first one that you see. But back to our main point, getting kind of side.
You went on a little bit of a rant.
Yeah, it's okay. But, you know, now people know. It's getting the point across to save money.
Well, we're also trying to keep the sites that we're testing on here more so geared towards the person who's going to be new. Because the person mm-hmm. who's going to be new is not going to go out and drop $200+. They're not. And I don't recommend that anyone who gets into archery goes out and buys a $200 sight right off the bat, because in 3 months from now, if you don't like it, you're going to try and sell it, and you're going to lose everything.
Yeah.
So I really recommend, if people do start out, try to keep yourself under $100. Even if you're going to go buy a brand new from a store, don't buy a sight that's over $100 right
off
the bat.
Just budget.
Yeah, just budget yourself out in the beginning. don't try to buy the hardcore top of the line thing right off the bat. You know, you're not
just because
it's not worth it.
Just because it's a company that's well off, that's known for some of their better products, doesn't necessarily mean that you personally it's going to personally work for you.
Absolutely.
So, back to the site that I put on.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the range today to kind of we're sighting them in.
And yours is also the standard Archer's Choice, not the micro adjust version. So yours is the one that's just under $100 retail.
Okay. So we got our sights in. We put them on the bows. We went to the range, and mine again is the single pin. So how it works is instead of having separate pins sighted in for certain yards and they kind of stay there and they're set for whatever yardage, like, you know, 10, 15, mm-hmm. 20, whatever you set them at, and they stay there. You have the single pin, and on the front of it, it basically looks like a slide on the front. And a a vertical slide. And you set it, let's say you set your first mark for, let's just say 15 yards. And then you go up to 20 or 25. Each yard that you sight it in for, you actually put a mark on its, what's a good way to describe
it?
It looks like just tape, white tape. That's like the easiest
way. Well, TrueGlow also sells a full yardage tape system. That they tell you sight it in here and sight it in there, and it's supposed to basically put the marks exactly where you would have them.
Mm.
But realistically, you should do your 10-yard pin, your 20-yard, your 30-yard, your 40-yard. Because the majority of them are like, okay, sight it in at 20 yards and sight it in at 60. You're not going to go from 20 to 60 and be like, oh, I got this.
Yeah, no.
Shit ain't going to happen.
So we'll post pictures up. That relate to what we're talking about. So if you're kind of listening to us right now and you're like, I have absolutely no clue what they're talking about, go on. We have a page up on Facebook, and
yes,
we have a page up.
Archers.
Well, not a page, but we have an Instagram that we're posting pictures on. So you'll get a chance to actually go there and look at what we're talking about. It might kind of make more sense.
Yes.
So it's, you just basically mark whatever yard you have it set for, and then you just kind of continue up that tape with whatever yards that you want to mark on there, whatever they may be.
Yeah, you can do it in 5-yard, 10-yard increments, whatever you want.
And that is, right now, it's going to take us more than one, trip to the range to sight that thing in, because I stayed at 10 yards first just to see how the sight felt. How's, you know, between looking down, seeing if I need to adjust it right off the bat, how far off I was going to be. Kind of get used to it, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And looking down through the sight is actually a lot. I like it a lot better. Just because
I kind of figured you were going to like it a lot better because your biggest thing was the pins clutter my view.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, now with this one that I actually really, really like is that I look down at my target and all I need to worry about looking through is just one pin. Just mm-hmm. one pin. And that's all that's in my line of sight, basically. And I mean, if you're going to be hunting, you're going to have obviously other obstacles that you're going to have to look through, whether it's you have trees, bushes, whatever else is going on. You're not going to be able to foresee anything that you're going to have to look past to whatever you're shooting at.
Right.
Or look through, or what kind of circumstances you're going to be in, and like environment.
I think that's one of the things that gives you a rush in the woods.
Well, yeah, no, that is. But if you have all that other those other factors that are unpredictable, that you don't know are going to be there, having less to look at through your own setup, as far as like pins go, I personally think that the one pin setup is easier for me. Then I have less that kind of less of a distraction going on.
Right.
Because I also got distracted very easily. And it's probably, it might just be because I'm inexperienced.
Well, you're new to it.
Right. You know, but
there's a lot to focus on. You're trying to focus on form, foot location.
Right.
Are my arms straight? Is my anchor point correct? You have a lot of variables. That's why I was like, all right, when we ordered this new wave of sights to test out, I was like, all right, I'm going to try and make sure I find a good price on a single pin. And I did. I found a smashing deal for this one. And I'll just say it. We got it for $35 shipped.
Yeah, he got it at a good deal.
So I got it for a really, really good price. Or 38 shipped. It was something like that. Yeah. It was below 40. And like I said, it retails for over $100, or just about $100 this version. And for like $10, we can get the sight tapes for you.
Oh, and I have to add this in. And this is not sponsored. This is because of awesome customer service.
Oh, yeah.
TrueGlow.
We emailed them.
We said, hey, we got this sight. And we gave them like the information for it. And we said, you know, it's missing
the level bubble.
The level. So we asked, we actually just wanted to know, hey, how much it would cost to
order a new one,
get a replacement for it. And they got back to us within, it was less than a day.
We also let them know that we have multiple bows with their sights on it. Yeah. Right now we have 3 bows with TrueGlow sights on them.
But it was not even 24 hours they got back to you.
I think they responded within 6.
Yeah. It was quick response. They got back to us. They said, no, you know what? We'll send you out a replacement for free. Don't worry about it. And I have to say that having that kind of customer service, be on point, to respond quick, to be very helpful, and to want to kind of do right to the people who purchase your sites, or your whatever you're selling.
Oh, yeah.
I think that also makes a big difference, because now...
Well, this is also one of the first companies we've had to deal like with this type of scenario with archery community-wise.
True.
We've dealt with this when it comes to car parts manufacturers who are And I'm a mechanic. And car manufacturer or car part manufacturers are some of the worst to ever respond to.
True. And honestly, it could be a fantastic company and they can make fantastic equipment or parts or whatever else. But if something happens and you just even have a question, you're not trying to get anything replaced for free. You just kind of want to know, where do I need to go to handle this or reorder or get a new part? And you have horrible customer service or a horrible experience. Honestly, for me personally, that is going to make me less likely to go back to that company. I'm going to be like, you know what? And when we have a choice between company A or B, and B costs maybe a slight difference in money, like, you know, it's a little bit more money for company B, but they have great customer service, I'm going to go to that one and pay the little bit extra, because I know if anything happens, I'm going to, you know, it's going to be taken care of. I'm not going to be left out like, hey, you know what, thanks for purchasing whatever, but tough luck, have fun.
Now, just so people know also, because we actually are trying to keep things detailed-wise, we're not saying that the Joker series sights are not good.
Oh, no, don't.
Basically, what we're trying to say is, if you're under 45 pounds and a newcomer to the sport, if you want to refer to it as a sport, I prefer to consider it more like a lifestyle type of thing, because we don't like... I can hunt with a gun. We know I'm proficient with a gun.
But this is not the gun channel, is it?
No. My point is, I would rather... No, we're not at the gym. No. I prefer to hunt with a bow. I prefer more so to hunt with a bow. So if you're under 45 pounds, you will have a decent gap between pins where you shouldn't have a major obstruction. Above 50 pounds, they kind of become too close to each other, just because, like I said, it's too close to the riser. It needs to be farther away.
And just a side note, this is not to bash any company. We're not trying to put any company down.
That's why I was trying to clarify that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, whoever's listening, don't say, oh, well, they're just putting this up. No, this is just our personal experience, personal preference, kind of to just give another point of view that maybe someone who's sponsored might not give you or, you know.
Well, this is also where this comes into play here. One of the main reasons why we also say if you're going to keep it under 45 pounds, you're a new archer. A lot of times when you're a new archer, you're not as strong. You don't have the stamina in your shoulder, your arm to hold the bow up efficiently. So this is where the advantage comes to the Joker series arrow bow sights. Sorry.
Hi.
The Joker 3 is actually only 4.6 ounces total weight. So it's just over a quarter of a pound. So the thing is retardedly light. And that's the 3-pin. The 4-pin series, which is the Joker 4, which is the one that was on my bow when I bought it as the ready-to-shoot package, mine was only 4.8 ounces as a 4-pin. So
not that bad.
It's not. They're very, very light. So for a starter bow, and like I keep saying, if you keep it around 45 pounds, you'll have a good pin gap.
Mm-hmm.
Or under 45 pounds. These are fantastic for a new person.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, starting out, it wasn't that bad. Especially, honestly, when I'm learning, 10 yards was like my friend. Because once I got used to everything, I was hitting all bullseyes. And I'm like, this is great. It helps my self-esteem.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at that point, you know, you're only looking at through one pin.
Right. Now that you've had some time, though, shooting, your new sight, the Archer's Choice, is actually 8.2 ounces. So it's...
Right. Which actually helps me stabilize the bow a little bit. You know,
right, but
you
it also
think,
put the sight, once again, farther out from the riser than
and
the Joker.
And sometimes
was.
Hearing these weights, you wouldn't think like, oh, it's not... That really isn't that much of a big deal. It's not that much of, you know, weight difference. It's only in ounces. But... Those little things, are, you know, they just add on to either help or hurt you in, you know, either direction, adding, taking away weight.
Right. Well, it's also when you practice majority of the time, you're not going to have your quiver with five arrows strapped to the side of your
right.
bow.
Yeah. Like so. When we go to the range, we don't have all of our arrows in a quiver, you know, that's hanging on our bow. They're in a, you know what? I'm drawing a blank.
They're
those little tins.
Square tin.
They don't have a certain
no,
name?
No, they're just square tins.
Okay,
no.
So I'm not that dumb.
They look like square garbage pails that the range has. There's three of them, you know, one for each lane. Technically, it's one for every two lanes because you're supposed to be able to shoot two people side by side, which ain't happening.
Yeah, again, back to our first podcast of saying...
Yeah, that shit ain't happening.
That is not happening. So, what I was trying to say before about the sight, with the marking... Adjusting it. This is the only reason.
Oh, it's backwards. Yes.
Yeah. So this is the only reason why it's going to take me a little bit longer to finish sighting in with this single pin. Now, when you sight in the Joker 3, you basically, if your arrows are hitting too high, you basically follow the arrow.
Right. You
follow.
So you
adjust
move up.
It up. If they're too low, you adjust it down. You follow
right.
it. The way that the single pin works is that when your arrows are hitting too high, you actually have to lower it because it acts as basically like a
it's
lever.
A pendulum. It moves backwards.
Yeah. So that was a little bit weird, but not that big of a deal. I mean, you know, you realize, oh, I'm going the wrong way, and you just go
well,
the opposite
way. Well, we were also
way.
Trying to get your bow where zero was 10 yards.
Yeah.
So this way the starting point was consistent, which I... And I did rough measurements using our kitchen counter, using the corner of the kitchen counter as a square.
You MacGyvered it.
Yes, I pretty much MacGyvered it. And only adults are going
to
get that.
Oh, and if, yeah, you're too young to understand that, take a minute out of
Go
your life.
Go ask your dad who MacGyver is. He's going to tell you he was the man.
No. You take a minute out of your life, you Google it, and then get back to us.
Yeah. Then you could figure out how the hell this guy made up an explosive with a paperclip and a piece of gum. So...
But the pendulum.
But yes, it moves backwards, basically. We try, if as you go farther in sight, you move the lever on the back of the sight upward to make the sight itself move downward.
Yeah.
So that's one thing you have to get adjusted to because it wasn't like, oh, we got to raise it. Wait, I'm shooting higher.
Yeah.
You know, this is not right. So.
So I found out the lowest point is, I sighted actually for 15 yards, I think.
No, it was 10.
Was it 10?
It was 10.
Okay, it was 10.
We and, both had new sites, so I just put both of them on 10 this year.
Just to kind of get the feeling out for where we are. And then we moved to 20.
Yep.
So I'm noticing with this one that it's a quick adjust where it has...
Turn a dial and move it.
You turn a dial and then you kind of move the pin by where you're marking, you're basically your marks for your yardage, up. Now, the only issue that I'm having with this is that it's very hard to kind of, if you want to just move it slightly up or a little bit, it's a little bit harder to not untighten it so much that when you touch it, it quickly moves so much that you're like, crap, I have to start over again. Or it's too tight where you're kind of trying to push it. And then by the time...
This is also your first day using it.
This is, well, yeah, this is also my first day using it. I'm not used to it. But I think sharing my issues with everyone else is kind of like, oh, okay, I'm having that same problem. Okay, so right. It's not just me. It's kind of my first experience, my first-hand experience. Right.
Well,
with
that was also the point of me putting out that this is not the Micro Adjust right. series, which has a completely different dial on it.
So I honestly, though, I think, though, once you get your lines in, it is so easy to unscrew it and move it. I don't have to get Allen keys out. I don't have to get anything else out.
We only have to use the Allen key once, and that's just to do your right to left. As soon as you had your center on, it was like, okay, center's done. Have fun.
But once you have your center, there's no real reason to have to move it left or right. You right. should be pretty much like, okay, it's centered, and it's going to stay there. The other way, vertical changes are going to be depending on what yards you're shooting at. So that's going to be changing depending on how far you're going to be shooting. So that should be really where the quickness comes in with it. Because if you want to adjust it real quick,
all you have to do is
unscrew it,
range find it, move it to the yard, tighten it, and let it rip.
Yeah. So we're going to have this site between this week. We're going to probably have another maybe 1 or 2 weeks of me adjusting this site to kind of get used to it. I'm going to be sharing if I find any other helpful tips or anything of what I found is easier to do with it.
Right. Well, but we also know there's like extra like add-ons that can be done to the site. Yeah, there's a magnification lens at the 2.0 magnification.
And all in all, so far with this site for me, from getting it and putting it on the bow and then going to the range, the sight single pin looking through there, I like overall much better than a multi-pin sight. So far.
Well, it's a clarity thing.
And the adjustments, getting used to, so not bad so far, but I like the quick adjust. So that's where I'm at with my sight. We'll see our next trip to the range.
I think by next time you're going to have it pretty much. As long as we don't go crazy shooting round after round after round after round, I think next time you could have 10, 20, 30 done.
Yeah, I think so.
Because your center is good.
Yeah, my center is good.
We just got to fix some of your form issues, which is your anchor point, because you tend to drift slightly.
Yes.
Your footwork has been perfect for weeks now. Your feet are in the same exact spot every time you're shooting. We have to fix the anchor point issue. And the other thing I forgot to ask you about today, because the size of the sight is different compared to the Joker series sight. Do you see anything more through the peep sight than just the round of the actual sight housing?
I can see everything else fine. It doesn't take up the whole...
The only thing you're supposed to see when you look through the peep sight is the outside housing of the sight.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Honestly, I'd have to... You know what? Now that you're saying something, I'd have to actually be at the range and look through it.
That's fine. But that's also something that's going to change when we get your anchor point corrected, because you're going on the corner of your mouth, slightly higher, and then it's drifting up and down.
Okay, so
your hand is almost in the same exact spot.
Anchor point, just so everyone knows what we're talking about.
Anchor point is the reference point that you use as you're looking through your peep sight.
So the kisser button.
Technically, we have a kisser button on yours. how it should work is your hand should come back to the same exact location every time. The way a lot of archers teach it, especially with the new compounds, because the angle on the string is so severe compared to the old style, it actually works. You put the tip of your nose on the string, and the angle of the string has to go from the tip of your nose to the very corner of your mouth, which is where your kisser button would be, mm-hmm. which is the corner of your mouth mark. Now, yours, you tend to drift slightly above the corner of your mouth, because you're anchoring so hard, but as you're anchoring, you're lifting. And you're drifting out, you're moving the kisser button from the corner of your mouth to above your lip.
Yeah.
Which is changing your focal point. So that's why you tend to hit, if you get it centered, you hit a bullseye. The next time you miss your anchor point, you're 2 inches underneath the bullseye.
Yeah.
Because that quarter of an inch gap creates a huge gap 60 feet away.
I've definitely noticed, and I know a lot of new people who are trying to fix certain things on their form. Like, if you find out one thing is a little bit off, okay, let me work on fixing this. You tend to forget the other points of your form that you need to keep up with.
Right.
Because it's not just one thing. So I think, I know for me, I'm trying to make sure I remember all points that I'm working on and not just...
Right.
Okay, let me, you know, work on, make sure my elbow is up, or make sure it's coming to the same point, or today I slapped my forearm with the...
Well, you wanted to not wear the forearm guard. Well, which you did get. You only slapped your arm once, and yes. Give her the benefit of the doubt. She got a dead X bullseye when she slapped her arm.
Yeah.
So the slap was worth it.
I definitely got a nice welt on my left forearm, because I am a right-handed shooter.
Yes.
And to everyone out there that's starting that does not think that you need a guard on your arm,
do it. Wear one.
You know what? Wear one. Because as you're going through and you're fixing your form and you're trying to focus on one thing, and you're not going to be an expert in, you know, the first months of you shooting. And if you are, that's great. You know what? You're one of the few.
And for anyone who's like me and my wife and you have tattoos on your forearms.
Yeah.
And... we tend to get tattoos. We haven't got one in quite a while. But I do know from personal experience, because I made the stupid mistake. If you get a fresh tattoo, put an arm guard on. Because let me tell you, when that string slaps a fresh tattoo, oh boy, does it sting.
Yeah, it stings when you don't have anything new on there.
Yeah, never mind raw skin.
Yeah. So, yeah, another side note.
Yes.
Hit podcast with side notes. Wear an arm guard. Trust me, you'll save your forearm until you get your form down and you know for a fact that, you know what, I'm not going to slap my forearm with the bow.
And this goes like for older, anyone who's listening to this who's older, and I'm not.
Older like you?
No, even older than me. I'm pushing 40, but I know older people, 50, 55, 60 years old. They're getting into archery as a stress relief style thing.
Yeah.
Wear an arm guard because...
These are new archers.
We know people that are experienced that still slap their arms. But when you get older, like me, I'm younger, whatever. I'm, like I said, I'm getting close to 40. I welt. I don't get bruises. But when you turn 60, your skin gets kind... Or 50, 60, whatever, when you get up there in age... Your skin tends to become, like, a little bit weaker.
More frail than you were right. In your 20s.
You will get a massive welt and a massive black and blue.
Yeah.
So, don't be cocky. Wear one for protection. You know, or if you're wearing long sleeves, a lot of times sleeve will take the brunt of the hit for you. But if you're wearing short sleeves, they do sell very narrow arm guards that are very, you know, sleek. Maybe 2 inches wide, 2.5 inches wide. Just wear one for your own protection. It's worth it. You don't have to worry about scars. You ain't got to worry about welting. None of those issues.
So back to mainstream.
Where we leave off.
I like podcasts with side notes.
Yeah. Podcasts with side notes and rants, and then hosts don't remember where they left off.
Hey, at least it's interesting. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, we're trying to keep it lively here. Yeah. So.
Now, what did you think of yours?
Okay.
You got a new sight on yours.
Yes, I took the Joker 4 off mine. And I put where is my little notes here?
He's got a little notebook.
I have a notebook to keep track of this crap.
It's like a man journal.
And this is what happens when you get a head injury, your memory goes to crap. I have the True Glow. Yeah, both. Yes, both bows went from Trophy Ridge sights to True Glow sights. Like I said, these are mainly geared towards a person who's going to be running into the new area of shooting. So these are the two companies you're going to go after for sight wise. So I have the True Glow Rival FX 5-pin series sight. Right off the bat, pins are extremely thin. Like super, super thin. Very, very bright. I put my my screw-in light that I had on my Joker 4 into this sight. Didn't even need to turn it on while we were at the range. But, you know, toward the end, I wanted to see, all right, let's see how much brighter it actually makes the sight. And I didn't need it whatsoever for 10 yards. Didn't need it for 20 yards, which my first pin is just a smasher. It does 10 yards, 20 yards, no problem. Quarter inch different height. Different height.
But you're also shooting at a higher...
Yes,
pounds.
I'm shooting at 70 plus, yes.
Yeah.
But the fact it's also, the sight is, I would say, roughly 3.5 inches farther out than the Joker was. And granted, it's also a larger frame, like sight window where the pins are sitting than the Joker was. So it's a good size. And even with it, this is why I said the reference about how much of you see in the peep sight.
Right.
With this sight all the way out, even with its bigger diameter, it just fills my peep sight window. So right. I see just the outer edge of the sight. So that's what I see. I see ring, pins.
Right.
This way, everything's in the formation. I don't believe some people say, oh, you should always shoot where your pin is in the center of your peep sight. Well, how do you know your view is lined up?
That is true. You could be off-center.
Right. So if you do outer ring of peep to outer ring of sight and your pins, as long as you keep ring lined up together, you're centered no matter what angle you're looking at.
And one shall rule them all.
And one ring shall rule them all. Do the
My
announcer
precious.
Voice with it. Yes. So, with it being even larger and everything, with me having it in the farthest position, which is where I kept looking through the peep sight, and that's what made the rings line up. So, that worked for me. I set my 10 yards. Now, the thing I like, so far, my favorite thing about this sight, is it has locking wing nuts on it that you can quickly loosen up to move your vertical and your horizontal. It has one for each.
Very true.
But it also has micro adjust knobs on it. There's no Allen keys except for setting your pins themselves. You can set your vertical, you can set your horizontal by loosening a wing nut and clicking this dial. You know, I mean, unreal, fantastic, made it super easy to adjust. I did the same ghetto basic tune, you know, quick tune at when I attach them to the bows using our kitchen counter as my corner marker for a straight level. Got my rough measurement for my first pin from the Joker that I measured before I took it off
right.
to the rival that I put on. And what'd it take? 2 rounds, and I had the 10, like, dead on. All 5 arrows were smushed in the inner circle.
Yeah, your groups were pretty tight, like, after two
rounds.
Oh,
I was
rounds.
Certain today I was going to break something.
Yeah, a couple times I thought you actually did.
Yeah, no, it was just
a couple
lots of slapping.
Did.
Lots of slapping.
But I know... You know, both of us, I know, are going to, well, we need to work on is just the endurance of being able to shoot, you know, group after group after group.
Well, yeah, by about the 10th group of 5, or
yeah.
actually more than the 10th group, probably about the 15th group of 5, we both started getting tired.
Yeah, it's, you start noticing you're out, you're shifting a little bit more, you're mm-hmm. swaying, you're not as steady.
Right.
Your form starts to go.
Yes.
Then it's time to take a break.
Yes, which we don't like doing because we're too stubborn.
No. And plus, that's like our one time that we really get to go out.
Yes, it's the once a week.
So,
you know,
it's like the kid who's fallen asleep on the playground, but they still want to play.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is me and you to a T right there.
Yeah.
But being that the site is also farther away from, the riser of the bow, it actually gave me a gap between the pins from my 20 to my 30. Before, they were almost sitting on top of each other where it was two black lines sitting next to each other with a sliver of light.
Yeah, how are the lights on yours right now anyway? Are they pretty bright?
What do you mean the light? The pins themselves?
Yeah.
Oh, the pins themselves are super, super bright. Even without the light turned on. Like yeah, I was saying when you were checking on our son. I just turned it on at the 30-yard shots just to see how bright they would be. And perfect. I mean, it could pretty be good. Dark out. Granted, I think the battery also in my little light is half dead.
Mm-hmm. But like somewhere like dawn.
If I put a brand new battery in that thing, I'd be able to see everybody.
Yeah, like, that's good.
I'd be able to aim at something 60 yards out, and thing would murk whatever is in its path. But first pin is 10 and 20, or up to 20, and then the second pin right now is 30.
Now, keep in mind that we only have in our area a range that goes up to 30 yards. Because all of the outdoor ranges right now are basically, they shut down for the upcoming hunting season.
Well, all the sportsmen clubs that do the 3D shoots on the weekends are now closed.
Yeah, and we don't really have a lot of space where we live to hunt outdoors. Or I should say, shoot outdoors.
Yeah, shoot. So yeah, our so one option. There's plenty of places to hunt. There ain't places to shoot.
Which basically our one option is a 30-yard indoor range, which is going to be a lot of people who have the same situation. So you can only really sight in 4 max of 30 yards.
Depending on your poundage of your bow.
Yeah.
If you're using 40 pounds, 45 pounds, you can do a 10-yard, 20-yard pin, 30-yard pin.
But that will give you the opportunity with any sight that you decide to buy to get used to it. You can master if that's your only choice. And you don't have another place to shoot, then you should be able to get used to a sight, sight it in up to 30 yards, and master it. You know, just because you went a couple times and did 30 yards and, you know, a couple shots were great, doesn't mean you've really mastered that yards. I think you should, not a lot of people practice as much as they should. Because they just want to go up to their max yards. Well, oh, you know what? I shot a couple times at 30, so let me increase it to 40. Let me increase it to 50. No, you need to kind of work more on mastering everything about what you're doing before you kind of jump, is what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely. I think every person, no matter what you do, even if you say, all right, you know, I want to go, my max hunting range is going to be 30 yards. Mm-hmm. I think you should be proficient to 50 or 60, to be honest. Because if you can shoot, and I'm not talking like a super, super tight group. If you can do a 6-inch group at 60 yards, you're going to be devastating at 30 and below.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's what you should be doing, really, realistically. If you're, and I'm talking 3 arrows, not 5, 6. If you can do every 10 yards consistently within, you know, 10 yards, actually, I would say anything 2 inches below for 20 or no, like 10 yards with a 2-inch ring, 20 yards, 3-inch ring, 30 yards, 4-inch ring, like that. If you can do that, or even if you could do an inch per 10 yards, even better, you're going to be fantastic when it comes to shooting. Especially hunting wise, because this is also, you know, we're specifically going after bows. So I'm not a big tree stand person. I like being on the ground.
You're going after bows?
No, we're talking about bows. Okay. You know what I mean, wise ass.
It came out really weird.
That's what happens when you have to, you're married and your co-host is your wife.
I'll call you out on it.
Yeah, I don't care. No, but I think you should be proficient to beyond that. Like, when I was younger in high school and stuff like that, I got to the point where they had to make me go on the baseball field to shoot.
Well, you lived in the ghetto.
I didn't live in the ghetto. I was going to high school in Westchester County.
You lived in the ghetto.
Well, all right. Yeah, whatever. I didn't go to school in the ghetto. I went to school in a different county. Whatever. Anyway. But I had to get up to the point where I was on the baseball field because I was proficient at 80 and 90 yards. Granted, I'm now 20 years older than that.
Yeah.
And I've had a long gap of shooting.
Now 30 yards, he's like, where's my binoculars? I can't
see. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I've been getting old. It's like, damn, I need a better prescription. No, and I think actually it's my glasses that screw me up half the time. I should switch to contacts when we go shooting. But great rule of thumb is be proficient twice at what you're shooting.
Yeah.
Or what you're hoping your kill zone is. Like, I shoot at 70 pounds. I know 50 yards I can kill whatever comes in its path.
Yeah. At the end of the day, whatever you're shooting at when you go out hunting, you want to make sure it's a quick, clean kill.
Yeah.
You don't want to be hitting them on some other area that they're going to be taking off and bleeding out, and you're going to have to go out and chase them, and they're suffering, and they're... You want a quick, clean kill. Quick, say that three times fast. Quick, clean kill. And however many yards that you're shooting at, you should be proficient enough in the yardage that you're shooting to do it.
Well, what did Am that I guy? Wrong? What did the guy ask me today? What? Because he asked me how much weight I was shooting, and I told him I shoot 70 plus pounds.
Oh, what are you
going to
kill?
Yeah, what am I going to kill? Am I going after like a moose or something or an elephant? He asked me if I was going to go shoot an elephant.
Just the way he asked was funny.
Just the way he asked was funny. And I gave him my honest opinion. And my opinion is basically what you just said. Quick, clean, make it ethical. I know at 30 yards, my bow is going to shove. My bow is going to put an arrow clean through an animal.
Yeah.
Now, if I can make a shot as a pass-through, you know both lungs are punctured. The animal's going to die in seconds. Not minutes. Not running away.
Yeah.
Seconds.
You want it to,
you want it to be fast. I don't want the animal to run away. I don't want to have to run up to the animal. It fell over. It's screaming. The gruesome hunting crap you hear, you know, slitting its throat. I don't want that.
That's not good for the animal
either.
It's not.
You feel bad, too. I don't hunt for sport. That's what I'm saying. I don't refer to this as a sport. I hunt for lifestyle-wise. This is going to provide for us. Yes, exactly. And you want it to be fast. I want it to be fast. I want it to be clean. You shoot at 50 pounds for a woman, which is strong.
52. That's
sorry.
All right.
Whichever. 50 plus. Okay. Which is strong for...
It's not bad.
You know, well, you're not that big of a woman.
No.
So...
But we're competitive, so...
Yes, you have to keep up with me, you know. And I think, honestly, if you work up to 60, which will probably take 2 years for you to be consistent at 60.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay at 52 for a while.
Right. But I think within 2 years, even like through two hunting seasons or whatever, I think you'll efficiently get to 55, 60 pounds, no problem.
Yeah.
Which would be nice. Be good. Because then, you know, you can pick up whatever bow you want right off the shelf. Most bows right now are sold in 60 pounds, 70 pound max. You can just say, all right, you know, the next bow you want, if you want another PSC, whatever, we go get you a PSC. All right, you know, I want it. I want the 60 pound max weight one. Okay, what does he want us, you know, the guy, the bow tech asks you, what do you want us to set the bow at? Right. Lock the bolts down.
Yeah.
60 pounds. Done.
Done. Easy.
You know.
Easy. And if you find yourself a tech that works well with you, you guys click, man, stay with
them. Show them you appreciate them, too. They love it.
Yeah. Bring them coffee. We bring ours coffee. That's what
we do. We know what kind of coffee ours drinks.
He's good.
Very good guy for us. I mean, takes care of cutting arrows for us, setting up the bows for us. He's adjusted your bow numerous times as we've increased your weight. Actually comes into us for reviews on the sites that we're messing with right now.
He's done right by us. So if you find someone who you really click well with, then stick with them.
Yeah, exactly. Show them you care.
So on those two notes, both these sites, since we're not really finished, it doesn't take a day to go through every aspect of the site.
I'm close to getting 30 done.
Yeah.
I'm very, very close to getting 30 done. But, I mean, we let off so many shots today. By the end of the day, my arm was jello.
Yeah, mine was too.
So,
our next week's podcast, we'll bring up these sites again.
Yes.
Because I got a lot more adjusting to do on mine until I'm really set up with it.
We got to work more. I think when we go next time, we're going to try and fix your anchor point.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get that solid. Make sure we now have the right size peep on your bow in comparison to your sight. I think if we get those two nailed down, I think you're going to find your center portion will be better. I still think we have to put a better stabilizer on your bow. That dart is doing the bow came with a trophy ridge dart. Fantastic for damping vibration.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so light, it gives no stability.
True. But that is something that we can talk about on our next podcast.
Yes.
Because we'll go in another hour.
We'll be going into more stabilizers because we have a new one coming for my bow. And the one that's on my bow is getting put on yours because we did a little test run last week with it on your bow. And the first time out, it made a huge improvement in you swaying at all.
Yeah. So we'll be continuing with the sights and we will have stabilizers and lots of fun. And hope you come back for the third one.
Oh, and before I forget. The rival that is on my bow was also picked up off eBay. Has a $89.95 retail list price.
Right.
We got it for $36 right. shipped in the box new.
Take a look on eBay. Do your shopping. Do your research. Amazon is also awesome.
Watch out for clearance sales too.
Clearance is a wonderful word. Clearance is always good. Don't be afraid of clearance. And so we have, just so you guys know, all the pictures for everything that we're trying out, are going to be, we have a Facebook page and an Instagram. They're both off-center archers. So take a look at those. You can actually see everything that we're talking about. We're going to post up, I posted up 2 pictures today. I will post up more during the week of the individual sites, like more of the just the site close up, so you guys can actually take a look at exactly everything that we talked about a little bit more in detail. Might give you a better understanding of everything we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I know I'm a visual person, so it's easier to look at something and like, oh, okay, I get it.
And feel free too, if anyone's listening to this, like, we've made up the username, profile, everything on Facebook, so if you do have any questions about what we're using right now, you know, be it the Jokers, the 2 Joker series sites that we had on the bows, the Archer's Choice that is now on your bow, the Rival FX that is now on my bow, feel free to ask us. You'll hear it. I mean, it's just going to be like how it sounds here. This is our honest opinion of what's going on.
Yeah, just personally.
What we're using for us. So you could still make your own decisions. Obviously, the way we're talking, we're not trying to push anybody into it. So far, this multi-pin sight has been working for me today because I almost broke a lot of arrows today.
Yeah. But if you have any questions you want for us or comments or whatever you'd like to put, emojis, please feel free to post them. And hopefully you'll keep coming back for more.
Yep.
So this is Stephanie.
And I'm Anthony.
And hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah, man. And we're out.